Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone on this beautiful morning, and especially to those of you who are visiting. We're proud that you're with us, invite you to be back with us again. I think most all the faces are familiar, but some I may be visiting with us the first time in our services, and I see some grandmother that's we've had with us before. We're proud that you're with us. Good to have several of our recovering back with us this week, and so it's just a good day. Lots of folks have gotten to go home that were in the hospital, and we're thankful for that and God's continued blessings. Talk about Jesus' discourse about being the bread of life this morning. Set the backdrop from John's gospel, and John tends to give us insight into the teachings of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. After the feeding of the multitude, large crowds had come to hear Jesus, and now they have followed him. If you will remember, they had desired to make him a king. And so he had sent the apostles away and had then sent the crowd away. And Jesus had walked on the water and joined the apostles in the middle of the lake and had gone across to Capernaum, to the other side of the lake. And so the crowd realized, because of the storm, only one boat had left, and that was the boat with the apostles. So they began looking for Jesus. And then, realizing that he was gone, they go to the other side of the lake and find Jesus. And then Jesus kind of begins his discussion with them. And Jesus' first talk with them, first discussion with them is, you have come because you got bread. You got something to eat. And so you have searched me out, and your primary goal is because there was food involved. Why had they come to him originally before he fed them? Well, they had seen his miracles, but probably as much as anything for his teaching, because they will refer to him as Rabbi. In this passage in John 6, as they're questioning Jesus, they'll refer to him as Rabbi. And that's a term they would not have used lightly. They are referring to him as a teacher, as a great teacher, someone to be esteemed. And the reason I share that with you, because we see different groups think of Jesus differently. But they're coming to Jesus saying, we've heard you, and we acknowledge and believe that your words are from God, and that they are wise, and that your teachings are good. So they've got that part of who Jesus is down. But they have not grasped the thought that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has come from God, and the greatness of the gifts that Jesus has come to give them. And so they had come to Jesus for his teaching, and they had been fed. And so they have decided to continue to follow him. Now, have people changed a lot? If you want to have a bigger crowd in an event, what do? Have food, right? Have food. Even though we live in an economy where most of us can afford to feed ourselves, and for many of us too well most of the time, if there's food involved, the numbers tend to increase. And if there is material gain, because I really think Jesus is talking to them about more than just food, but about material gain. You come to me for material gain, Jesus is saying to them, and you are missing the greatest of value. The greatest of value. When we think about just being sustained, or just sustaining someone, I'm not going to give you anything extra, but I'll give you bread and water, which will, you can survive on that, but it's not the best, but you can get by. We're going to just feed you bread and water. And what Jesus is really saying to them is, you've come to me for bread and water, And what I have to give you is of so much greater value than bread and water. And so as Jesus begins to teach them, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life sent down from heaven. And so now there is, the discussion will go two ways. Their concern is twofold. When they think about bread from heaven, they think of two things. One, truly what Jesus intended, that I have come from heaven, that God has sent me. Because Jesus will say, no one has seen the Father except for me, the one who has been sent by the Father. And the second thought that they have is, the bread from heaven is what Moses provided for our forefathers in the wandering of the desert. And Jesus will address both of those thoughts as they struggle with what Jesus is telling them and the application that it had for them and that it has for us. The first one. As I've shared with you many times, we don't have a great difficulty for most of us believing that Jesus came from heaven, that Jesus came from God, that Jesus is the divine. Most of us, by being here, believe that Jesus truly was the Son of God. What is harder to grasp is that Jesus was completely human. Now, most all of us believe, yes, that Jesus came, he was a man, he was born of Mary. We don't argue that, but it's hard in my mind, and maybe in yours, to realize that Jesus truly lived the struggles of life as a man. Because the thought, I mean, this is God. He's God, so he just understood more and knew more. But what the scripture teaches us is that Jesus emptied himself of his divinity. Did not think equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself and became as a man, not only in form, but in reality. Now, how do we know that? Is God all-knowing? Some of you shaking your head, all of you, that's a yes or no. Follow the logic with me because it helps us. Is God all-knowing? Does God know everything? Well, yes. So if you know everything, are you going to learn anything? It's not possible. If you already know everything, it's not possible to learn anything. I'm not being a smart aleck here. This is not a trap. I'm not calling any of us know-it-alls. Logically, God is all-knowing so that he cannot learn. The scripture tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. If he had maintained the fullness of his divinity, his physical body might have grown, but he couldn't have gained in wisdom. Because God is not all-knowing, but he's all-wise. So Jesus, in becoming a human being, emptied himself of the fullness of being God. So when Jesus faces temptation and struggle in life, he is facing it as we do as human beings. He was tempted in every way like we are. Jesus understands. Now that's a little hard for me to grasp. I believe it. I believe it's biblical. I believe it's important about who he was. Not that Jesus was, he was always divine, but he emptied himself and becomes not just, he's not just God in the form of a man. He is a man with all of the struggles and all of the goodness that comes with being human. Jesus understood it. I have trouble with that, but I have no difficulty believing that he is God. That he was the active agent in creation. That he's returned to heaven, that he's at the right hand, that he's returning. That's easy for me to grasp. Now, the reason I went into all that is, but if Jesus were here, and he'd been born in our community, and we knew his mom and dad, we would have no trouble believing he was human. We would have difficulty believing that he is God. Because why? I know his brothers. My first cousin went to school with his older brother. They played ball together. I mean, those are the conversations we have about people, right? And we know them or somebody who's connected to them, and it gives us some relationship. Well, Jesus born in Bethlehem, they knew who he was, and they could see him in the flesh, and they knew family, and they knew people who knew when he was growing up. And so they're having real trouble, as Jesus said, I'm the bread from heaven. Well, we know where he was born. We know his relationship, and they're struggling with that. As Jesus said, I am the bread from heaven. Because Jesus not only was human, but Jesus was divine. But he never denies his humanness, because he will talk about the bread of life being his flesh, that he's flesh and blood, that he is human, but he has been sent by God. Now, so their conversation goes, well, you know, show us more miracles. Moses sent us bread from heaven. And Jesus said, well, it really wasn't Moses who gave our forefathers bread from heaven. It was God who gave our forefathers bread from heaven. And he did. It was bread that sustained them in the wilderness wanderings that we're familiar with. But Jesus is saying, but I am much greater than manna. If you're only coming to me for manna, you are missing the greatness of the gift. It's the same thought that Jesus gives, that John records for us, from the woman at the well, who comes to Jesus and he says, will you draw me some water? And he says to her, if you knew who it was that asked you for water, you would ask me for living water. And immediately she goes, ask you for water? You don't have anything to draw with. He says, but I'll give you a water that springs up to eternal life. Not just a water where you have to come back, because what was her immediate desire? She said, can you give me this living water where I won't thirst, where I won't have to come back to this well again? She wasn't thinking about eternal life. She wasn't thinking about spiritual fulfillment. She wasn't thinking about forgiveness of sins. She was just thinking, wouldn't it be great if I didn't have to come to the well and draw water every day? And Jesus says, what I give you is much greater, because the living water I give you would spring up to eternal life. And Jesus' discourse with the crowd is that the bread that I am doesn't just satisfy physical hunger that comes back again, but it is spiritual. Because, yes, God gave this to our forefathers in the wilderness, but what happened to them? They died. They all died. Did it keep them from starving to death? Yes. Was it a bad thing? No. Was it unhealthy? No. Was it full of cholesterol? No. But it was only designed to feed them in the wilderness wandering. And they died. And Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Not that just fulfills a temporary hunger, but that brings about eternal life. Why did the Israelites die in the wilderness? It's an important question that most of you, many of you, know the answer to. The reason they died in the wilderness was that when they had crossed to the land of Canaan, that God had promised all the way back to Abraham, they were afraid to enter. Remember? They sent 12 spies. Two, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can take the land with God's help. And 10 said they couldn't, and got the whole crowd worked up so they don't go into the land. So they turn from the land of Canaan back into the desert, and they wander. And they die because of their lack of faith. It wasn't that the manna killed them. The manna sustained them physically, but they died in the desert because of their lack of faith. God had prepared them to enter the land of Canaan, and they did not trust in God. And so Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life that leads to eternal life. Not just bread that sustains you here, but that will lead you to what? A land of promise. Because Jesus talks about coming back on the last day. Jesus talked about God fulfilling his promise. So to a crowd that was going to make him king, it's not about me supplying you food. It's not about me providing you physical protection from the Romans. or from your enemies. It's not me providing a kingdom where Israel is restored to some glory that we had in the time of David, but it is about eternal life and at the end of time, being children of God, being part of the kingdom of God that is eternal, where all of the former things have changed, John will tell us. And they were missing it for the temporary. And they were struggling with faith as well. Because what kept Israel from entering the land of Canaan? It was a lack of faith, not trusting in God. And so, as they began to ask Jesus, what should we do? Asking him now as a rabbi, as a great teacher, what are we to do? And Jesus gives them this answer. You are to believe in the one God sent. It's about having faith in God and in His Son. And what does that mean? We'll talk about it for just a moment. He's not saying just believe that I exist because it's obvious that I exist. You see me. But it's believing that I was and am sent from God, that I am the Messiah, and in believing that, it is the accepting of the teachings of Jesus and the truths of God. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what God calls you to believe in me and who I am and what my purpose is and the truths of God that I am sharing with you. Because that leads to eternal life. That leads to heaven. What did they come for? Food. They just came for food. And they came for temporary freedom. That's what motivates this crowd. Here is a man that can give us food. And here's a man who we believe can be king. Here's a man who can free us from oppression. For those of us who've taken any marketing classes or human relation classes in the last, I don't know how many years, at least the last 40 years, and I'm sure they still teach it, we talk about Maslow, right? And the hierarchy of needs. I started skipping the first day of classes because every class I took had to talk about Maslow and the hierarchy. I got that. But what's Maslow's premise is that there are certain fundamental needs that we have as human beings, and as we go up that pyramid until we satisfy one level, we're not ready to accept or be excited about the next one, and that's food and clothing and shelter and safety. Those are kind of at the bottom. And so what they were coming to Jesus for were those fundamental things of food and protection and shelter. But what they misunderstood and did not realize is that God through Jesus was offering them not only His blessing and caring for them, not that they wouldn't struggle, but He was offering them something that was eternal and lasting. That they were looking for something that only satisfied for a moment. And He was offering them something that was eternal. Unless something happens, I hadn't asked, but with a great degree of accuracy, I'm going to eat a large lunch in a few moments. And it will be good. But tonight, when we finish our assembly, I'll be hungry again. Right or wrong, that's not the good. I'll be hungry again. And tomorrow, I'll do it again. I will eat again, barring some sickness or something. The reason I say that is, what they were asking for wouldn't satisfy. And Jesus is saying to them, but I have come to offer you something that satisfies and protects you long term. Not that they wouldn't be physically hungry, but His blessings were so much greater than that. It was about freedom from the bondage of sin and the power of death. The Apostle Paul will write to the Corinthians and use this statement, which I think is amazing. He said, if our hope in Christ Jesus is in this world only, we're among all men to be most pitied. What's Paul saying? Is Paul not praying for God and for his deliverance? He does. He does. He prays for the churches. He prays for their needs. He asks them to pray for him as he's in prison. And not only about his imprisonment, Paul would say, pray that I might be able to be freed so I can come to you and encourage you. Paul believed that God answered prayer and that God would change the course of his life if they would be prayerful about it. But what Paul knew was that the great blessing was not that God was looking after him in the struggles of this life, but Paul's hope was in what was coming, in the world to come. His great hope was in the deliverance that the Lord provided through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And so they came just for food and just for freedom. And Jesus said, what I have to offer you is abundant, overflowing, eternal life. As God's people, our lives, our relationship with God, and our message should not be about, well, come to church or come to God because things will just be better today, although God does bless us. And what a wonderful thing that we can pray for each other and for our situations and for our health and all those things and know God answers and that God helps us through the tough times. But the message is Jesus is returning. And in the glory of his return is resurrection and eternal life forever in the very presence of God where he cares for every need. And Jesus has gone to prepare a perfect place for us. Let's not live our lives looking for bread. Let's not spend our time coming to God only looking for those things that are temporary. But realize, come to God in faith, knowing that Jesus was a man who was God in the flesh, who gave his life as a payment for our sin, who God raised from the dead, and who has gone to prepare a perfect place for his children, and he is coming to take us home when the time here is past. That was Jesus' message to them, and that was the greatness. The struggles here are real, but they are temporary. And God has great plans for those children whom he loves. Yeah? God fed our forefathers in the desert. It helped them survive, but they still died. Jesus said, come to me, I am the bread of life, and those who come will never die, because I give you life that is abundant and eternal. The invitation of God is, do you believe in Jesus? Who he was and what he taught, and that he's going to return. If you need to come in faith, would you do that while we stand and sing?